Hey everybody, and welcome back to the Lucky Dog Podcast. This is your host, Elias Roush. This podcast is sponsored by Elias Roush Media and brought to you by Elias Roush Media. Yes, we do it all. We are podcasting, editing, and album reviewing as we speak. Today we have the Drake Scorpion album released today on, what the hell is today? Oh, June 29th. 2018. So, my history with Drake is pretty much just like anyone else's. We've seen him do work through the last 10 years. I think he had his beginnings on Degrassi, and then he became a little bit more popular into the hip-hop culture, and I think Best I Ever Had came out in 2006 or 7 or something like that. And so ever since then, he's been really releasing singles and albums that have really marked his time and transitions in the music industry. So I thought that I had a little bit to say about the Scorpion album, and I thought that it would be kind of interesting just to kind of go through what he's released on this new album. This is going to be divided by the first half and second half, considering he released the album in two different segments, sort of. So the track lists are numbered one through, let me see what the track lists are numbered as. Got the album right in front of me. Okay, so the first track lists are 1 through 12, and then the second one, I guess the second side is 1 through 13. So we're going to talk about each side, not individually, but song by song, just but highlights of, you know, what he's pointed out, what he's saying, how the beats are put together. Do they sound as good personally? Of course, all of this is subjective. I mean, people are going to listen to this and be like, oh, hell no, this is the best album, or hell no, this is the worst album. Clearly, this is just an opinion. And obviously, if you have anything to write in or disagree or concerns or comments, questions, concerns, you know the deal. Let me know on luckydogpodcast@gmail.com. Anything you need to find Lucky Dog information is all in the show notes. And let's get it started. This podcast will have spoilers for, I guess, real life and Drake's life. If you don't already know, there will be possible spoilers to, I guess, listen to this. Don't listen to this and be like, oh my gosh, you spoil this for me and stuff like that. So definitely know that up front. So the first half, Drake definitely references in more than one of his songs that he has a son. This is something that has been speculated by many people ever since the beef with Pusha T and Drake came out a month ago or so. Sometime around May 2018, or maybe even late earlier than that. Yes, he does have a son, which is, you know, I guess, kind of a big deal. I'm not really sure how it's relevant to our lives or why it's necessary for all of us to know. I guess music is a way for artists to kind of get their feelings off their chest and stuff like that. And I kind of feel like this album, Scorpion, was Drake getting a lot of stuff off his chest. Ever so often, Drake will have different styled albums. Sometimes they're hip-hop, sometimes they're kind of like dirty underground, sometimes they're more like Views and they kind of have like a Jamaican vibe with it. Some are more life and they kind of have a little hip-hop, Jamaican, and you know, dirty underground urban hip-hop or something like that. I don't have the best genre vocabulary for music, but he definitely has different styles and different ways he presents his music. And not only from like a beat standpoint and how the technical instrumentals sound, but they also have different lyrics. And sometimes some have to do with more of his personal life. Like, I believe Scorpion is much more based on his personal life. Some of them are more based around his relationships with his friends, and some are more with his family, and some are just him focusing on himself and becoming better in the game or whatever he's doing or pursuing. But yeah, this I believe this album is definitely focused much more on himself and kind of letting the world know where he is emotionally and with his, I guess that's, it's much more focused on him and his relationships around him, not so much around his relationships regarding his, like, his exes, his sons, his son, not sons, as far as we know. I don't know. I don't want to get in trouble for anything. It's all speculation. Everything we're talking about is speculation. But anyway, back to the first half. It's much more R&B focused, I would say. It has a little bit of soul that creeps in. It first half focuses a lot more on, well, in general, like I said, mostly on his emotions, recent emotions. There was a lot of hype coming up to this album. I remember he kept saying in most of his best songs that he was dropping, God's Plan, Nice for What, all these, I think there was a song or even before then, something on More Life talking about how 2018 was going to be his year. But it really sounds like he's having a rough year, honestly. It doesn't sound like it's all that jazz. It's not as easy as he had been flowing as he had planned it out to be. I really think that this put a dent in his plans to rule at 2018 or something like that. I'll elaborate a little bit more about it. The first half really doesn't have much about Pusha T at all. I know he was advised not to respond some of the retaliations that the story of Adonis addressed in from Pusha T did. The story of Adonis was a freestyle rap that Pusha T released the information of Drake's son. The second half of the album, Scorpion, is much more synth urban hip hop focused. I would say it starts with a slow R&B Drake, trying to think of the album that is whatever. If you're reading this, you're too late or something like that. That's what it kind of reminds me of, the beginning. It also brings a little bit of, I would say, experimental sounds. Summer Games sounds like an 80s African retro pop beat. It took me a while to actually come up with what it actually sounded like, but it had so many different beats going on. I was like, what in the heck is going on? Kind of mixes it a little bit here and there from the beginning into the end. And like many of Drake's songs, it kind of reminded me of Madibia Rhythm. I know I murdered that song name as well. Sometimes Drake will have these really catchy songs that only latch latch that only last about 1 or 2 minutes, and then all of a sudden it'll transition the last like 20 seconds into a really catchy beat, and you're like, hey, I want to stick with this beat. Like, I really liked Madibia Rhythm's song. I think it's only like 2 minutes, and then the last 20 seconds have this really catchy, like, I don't know, like, African, like, pump up beat or something like that. If you listen to it, you'll understand what I'm saying. But Summer Games kind of had a similar thing where it had like this, like, transition the last 20 seconds, and I actually like that last 20 second transition more than, I don't know, the majority of the song. So we got a couple of those transitions in between the songs. I think the one that really stuck out was the Summer Games song. Another song that stuck out, even just by name, if you had no idea what it was, if you saw the name, you're like, what the hell? I gotta read this. I gotta see this. I gotta listen to this. Ratchet Happy Birthday is another song on Scorpion. I would say it's getting a lot of word around the internet, and people had different expectations about what Ratchet Happy Birthday was supposed to mean. But either way, I think this song could probably be played at happy birthdays. So you might have a new happy birthday song. It's not your trap beat that it's your birthday, birthday, birthday. It's not any of that. Don't get hyped for it. Don't get all turned for that. It's much more low key, and I'm trying to think of a song that it matches Drake's. It almost sounds like a transitional song that you would put put in between the first and second half of the tracks just to kind of change the transition of the theme. But yeah, it was getting some people expected ready for that hype beat, and it was much more of, someone called it an auto-tuned trap elevator music, whatever that is. So yeah, we have one of my favorite songs on the second half, In My Feelings. I thought that it had probably the most distinct sound with the most distinct type of chorus. I noticed the majority of the second half mostly felt almost experimental in the way they were produced, and they didn't have many choruses that really caught my attention, like the More Life albums. The More Life album had Views had a lot of catchy choruses. I don't need a catchy chorus to have a good song or anything like that. It's just sometimes I like just a little bit more rhythm with what's going on, and I felt like these were different beats than I was used to, so I'm gonna have to listen to it a few times to get used to these types of beats. But I really did like it, especially how it started out. I'll mention a few extra things before we wrap up. We listened to the whole thing all in a row, first and second half. Don't Matter to Me, which was the interesting mix interesting mix of synth bound pop with a steady clap, which was also voiced or also joined in by with Michael Jackson. This was a song, I believe, that was unreleased by Michael Jackson. I'm not familiar with it already, so I believe this is unreleased. And I think it's a pretty interesting song. They obviously just have him for one or two lines, but they do a pretty good job mixing it in. It's interesting that we are still getting music from artists that have been passed, years and years ago, but we have the technology to do it now, so it's crazy. I mean, yeah. Also, I wanted to mention how much The Weeknd sounds like Michael Jackson. Like, my goodness, it's like, it's crazy how much they sound alike, and obviously my opinion. But After Dark, it's your full on R&B, got your Ty Dolla $ign, you got everybody there. Static Major, wait, did I say Static Major? I don't know if it's Static Major. Yeah, it is. Then we wrap up with Final Fantasy and March 14th, which are both essentially letters to the listeners and to how he's doing, how he's feeling. And it is it's a it they're not much so much as songs as they are like audio journals or something like that. Like, they aren't songs or bangers that you would go back and listen to all over and over and over normally. Normally those are the ones with the catchy rhythms and the ones with the catchy beats and the catchy lyrics. These are much more bound in how he's feeling and how he's, how he's dealing with life. And March 14th really is all about his son that he's it I'm not saying he's neglected, but he kind of apologizes for not being there 100%. And he does say early in the music, he's been hiding his son from the world because, essentially, the world's not worth it. And it is what it is, but it's ultimately not, I personally don't believe it's all of our business, even though, obviously I'm talking about it. I'm just specifically talking about it because he addresses it on the album. But if he didn't talk about it, I would never have to talk. I would never think about, like, how many kids Drake has. Like, it doesn't matter. I'm pretty sure, like, Fetty has like five or six. Like, I don't see what it matters to the game, to anyone's artistry, like how many, what their personal ties or family life. So I don't need it to be addressed. I do your thing, do whatever, have however many kids. I don't care if you have zero kids or 20 kids. It's like, I don't believe it's really our business to have to put it out there. Especially, I'm putting this back on Pusha T because I think that it was just unnecessary to bring it up. So ultimately, I do think that he is sensitive about being a co-parent, especially in this situation, under the scrutiny of being a famous individual. I mean, I couldn't imagine having that type of scrutiny and millions and millions of people telling you all these things. If you read the inside of his album, it mentions it almost reads like tweets. The inside of the album says, you know, Drake's not this, Drake's not that, he's not cool, Drake's not Drake thinks he's Jamaican, like just crazy, just things that the inside of the album says. And it sounds a lot like what would read it, negative tweets would sound like. So yeah, this guy is clearly going through some stuff, and I feel for him, mostly on like a professional level, just because there's just got to be a hell of a lot of scrutiny. And I can tell that it feels like there's some songs that were already on there and that had been planned on there for a while, but I think he's had to change a lot of the things that were originally going to be on there, strictly because so much has happened in his personal life recently that he has to address. And if he doesn't address it, then people think he's skipping the point, and people, you know, it's all about, I guess, putting on a look or a face or something like that. But he really does have to stay up to date in with what he says, and the beats, stuff like that. So he can't just have like 1,000 different songs out there on his hard drive, which he probably does, but the lyrics have to be up to date. And it's incredible how the majority of these really do address up to date things in his life. Something that was going through my head: did Drake release the best songs before the album dropped? I think he might have. I think he might have. I'm not even sure if it was his fault or if it's his company that releases his songs, whoever who he was signed with, because he might be independent now. I think that the best songs, "Nice for What," "God's Plan," let me see, "I'm Upset" was pretty good, not my favorite. But those were some of my favorite songs on the album. If I go back and look at these, I think "Survival" was pretty good. "Nonstop" was. "Mob Ties" goes in. I don't need, you know, a song to go in to be the best. "Ratchet Happy Birthday," I'll definitely listen to again. "In My Feelings," I will. So yeah, I am having a little bit more trouble looking back at the track list and saying, "Oh yeah, that's a banger. That's mine. Oh, that's a good song. Ooh, this one gets me in my feelings. Ooh, this one really hits me in the spot." You know, it's like I think this album is going to take a minute to smooth over, considering this is majorly Drake. I mean, he only has one or two, three, let's say 3 or 4 songs on the entire 25 song album list that feature anyone else. You know, we have Jay-Z on here with Talk Up, but I personally was not that impressed with Talk Up. But yeah, I think this is going to be an interesting album when it surfaces within the culture and community. You know, every time there's a Drake album, everyone starts posting all these Drake lyrics and everything, and you got to understand what's going on. So hopefully this podcast helped you a little bit. Again, this is sponsored by Elias Rausch Media. Check out eliasrausch.com for more podcasts. Rate, share, subscribe. Lucky Dog Podcast. Check us out on Apple, iTunes. You got Google Play. You got SoundCloud. You got your YouTubes. You got all these podcast apps. Tune in. Pretty much everything's put Spotify. We're still trying to get Spotify on there. But I appreciate everyone listening. Check out Lucky Dog Podcast for more podcasts, TV, movies, now music. Thank you, and take it easy.
Watch the breakdown. Care for me, care for me. I know you care for me, there for me, care for me. Said you'd be me, cry for me, cry for me. You said you'd die for me, give to me, give to me. Why won't you live for me, care for me?